beholds his heart that hath loved men so much that it spared nothing even to the emptying of itself to gain their love. Our Lord's words to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One day, as St. Mary Margaret Alacoque was kneeling before the altar, Jesus appeared to her in a visible manner in all the splendor of his glory, his five horns shining like five bright suns. He showed her his adorable heart, all surrounded with flames. From the interior of his heart, great flames of fire came forth, which spread in every direction, as if to ignite all with which they could come in contact. But the exterior of his heart was encircled by a crown of thorns, which seemed to wound it most painfully. The Sacred Heart told her the great extent to which the excess of his love of man had carried him. "Behold," he said, "behold his heart, which has loved men so much and made every effort to testify that love. In return, I receive from the great number only contempt and ingratitude. It is this," he continued, "which I feel more deeply than all that I suffered in my passion. For if they would only return my love, I would consider all that I have done for them as nothing. And if possible, I would even wish to do more, instead of which I meet with coldness and repulses from men in my anxiety to do them good. At least then," added he, "do thou give me satisfaction by atoning for their ingratitude as far as thou art able." It is because of this wonderful vision that the heart of Jesus is usually represented in pictures and statues with flames of fire ascending from it and encircled by a crown of thorns. But many times we look at these pictures, but do we really know what is the meaning of these flames and what is the meaning of this thorn which surrounds the Sacred Heart of Jesus? First, the flames of fire which come from the heart of Jesus and which tell us how much Christ loves us in the Blessed Sacrament. Fire, and especially the flames of fire, are generally admitted to be the symbols of love and are referred to as such in Sacred Scripture. Christ says, "I am come to cast fire on earth, and what will I but that it be kindled?" This fire, which through the Holy Ghost is sent on the earth, is the love with which the hearts of all men should be inflamed. When in the picture of the Sacred Heart we see flames of fire issuing from this heart of Jesus, it indicates the love which especially manifests for us in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Secondly, the thorns which surround the heart of Jesus and which represent to us the insults which Jesus endures in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. St. Mary Margaret saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus encircled by a crown of thorns, which wounded it's in several places. It is a figure of the numerous offenses which are offered to our divine Savior in the Blessed Sacrament. But who are those who press sharp thorns into the heart of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? Those who do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, and who instead of reverently and humbly declare him to be, as it were, a liar, which he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." And the number is great of those who deny the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, the Gentiles, the Jews, and even millions calling themselves Christians, even many, many who call themselves today Catholics. Many times, Catholics of this new church, of this Novus Ordo Church, don't believe at all in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar, because they are led by false shepherds like Ratzinger, who says, "Christ is in the bread." But there is no bread. There is only Christ. They absolutely and positively deny that Jesus Christ is present under the appearance of bread, and assert that the host is nothing else than bread. Consequently, they do not adore the Holy Sacrament of the altar. They even find fault with us Catholics because we adore it and accuse us of idolatry. Because, as they say, we adore bread. How much must our Savior be offended by such Christians, though repeated so often and pronounced with the greatest emphasis, yet they refuse to believe these words and endeavor to make his adorers waver in their faith and to lead them into error. Secondly, who are those who press sharp thorns in the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Are those who communicate unworthily. Of such the Apostle says, "Whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." That is, he is guilty as if he had slain the Lord and shed his blood. If according to the words of the Apostle, every mortal sin is a crucifixion of Christ, since it could only be atoned for by the death of Christ on the cross, how much more will a sacrilegious communion be such a crucifixion, since it is one of the greatest and most grievous of sins? Or that there may be none among us whose soul rests the awful sin of an unworthy communion. Thirdly, who are those who press sharp thorns in the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Those who behave irreverently before the Blessed Sacrament. Those who are in church before the Blessed Sacrament behave frivolously and look around instead of praying, who yield to every distraction and ever to sinful thoughts, and even to sinful thoughts, laugh, talk, and gaze about. Our Lord's conduct towards the greatest sinners was indulgent, but not towards those who profaned the temple of Jerusalem with mercantile affairs. He was fired with holy anger against them, upset their tables, scattered their money, and drove them out of the temple, saying, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Now, when Jesus became angry with the profaners of the Jewish temple, in which was only the Ark of the Covenant, how will he proceed against those Christians who misconduct themselves in our churches where he is really present? Fourthly, who are those who press sharp thorns in the Sacred Heart of Jesus? They are those who are cold and indifferent towards Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, who do not visit him throughout the year, who on Sundays and holidays, instead of adoring him for a short time in the Blessed Sacrament, spend the whole afternoon and evening in distractions, to whom a quarter of an hour before the Blessed Sacrament is even too long, and who experience weariness nowhere except in church. Such Catholics give full evidence that they have no love at all for Jesus, and that their souls are inclined to things on earth. Judge for yourselves if the conduct of such persons must not deeply grieve and pain our divine Savior. He is all love for us. He loves us so much that even after his ascension, he wished to remain and thus remain with us as God and as man in order to do good to us and to give himself entirely to us in Holy Communion. If for all this love we make no return by endeavoring to influence our hearts with love for him, are we not ungrateful? And is this not a grievous offense against him? Let us examine our conscience regarding this. Let us repent of our carefulness and neglect in visiting him heretofore, in coming on Sundays evenings for rosary in this chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, and in coming to all-night adoration on First Friday. First Friday. Next Friday is First Friday, and I wished I would see the whole chapel full of people, first of all for the Holy Hour at 8 o'clock, but then also I would wish to see on the sheet, on the schedule for the all-night watches, more people signing up. Remember, Jesus Christ gave so much promises to this devotion to the Sacred Heart. And we should renew our devotion, particularly this month of June, which is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There are many Catholics who encircle the heart of Jesus with a crown of thorns by grievously offending him in the Blessed Sacrament. Maybe we too must confess that more or less we have grieved and offended our divine Savior in the sacrament of love. Let us humbly and contritely beg pardon and to reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as the Sacred Heart requested to St. Mary Margaret. At least do thou give me satisfaction by atoning for their ingratitude as far as thou art able. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.